This is the Help My Website Sucks podcast, your bite-sized guide to web design. I'm Amy Gumbrell, a freelance WordPress web designer. And when I'm not building utterly functional and beautiful websites, I love talking about them. In fact, I'm on a mission to make websites next level easy and to make sure that your website doesn't suck. We're putting our serious hats on for this episode, as believe it or not, creating a website and bringing it to the World Wide Web does have legal implications. Well, you didn't think that web design was all colour palettes, animated buttons and carousels, did you? I will say right away, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I have any legal background or certifications. I always advise my clients to enlist the help of a legal professional, as they can provide them with legal advice specifically tailored to their situation. Also, I'm based in the UK, and although I do work internationally, darling, many of my clients work within the UK and EU. So my experience and understanding of legal requirements outside these areas is very limited. Well, that's my disclaimer out the way. Shall we rock on and talk about the beautiful legal pages your website legally needs? Go on then, let's do it. So let me paint you a picture. Whenever I start a new website project, I like to ensure my clients understand everything I'm going to need from them, such as the images, decisions about layout, and so on. They reassure me that the assets are on their way and, well, everything gets off to a great start. That is until I ask them if they have thought about their legal policies, and the vibe quickly changes from website fun to website scary. As a web designer, it is my duty to advise clients that, like everything in life, there are laws and regulations relating to websites. Pleading ignorance, sadly, is no excuse for ensuring that your business complies with these laws. You see, they govern the content and functionality of your website, and they provide the users with the right to know and control what personal data is being collected, sold, and shared. So the ones I'm interested in are, well, there's four-ish. We've got terms and conditions, we've got the privacy policy, the cookie policy and the pop-up banner, and e-commerce policies. And just another little thing to reassure you here, this is quite a weighty episode, so I'll be adding links to other websites within the show notes for further help and support and guidance with this topic. So numbers one, kicking off this smorgasbord of legal yum-yums, we have the good old T's and C's, terms and conditions. Quite simply, they are all the details that tell your website visitors who you are, how people could contact you, VAT number, and so on. It's an opportunity to reassure them that the content that you've got on your website is owned by you and reminds them what they can and cannot do with that content. Usually, you'll see this as a separate document linked to in the footer along with the other legal pages, and you'll actually probably give a copy of these T's and C's to all your clients when they sign on the dotted line and become a customer. Privacy and cookie policy. I'm sure everyone is familiar with arriving at a website and a pop-up appearing informing you about privacy and cookies. And for the most part, people click somewhere on the screen or the little X and it makes it disappear and you don't think about it ever again. Some of us may even get annoyed with this. Well, it's tough. Because if your website is offering goods or services to those located in the European Union, Ireland, Norway, Liechtenstein, Switzerland, or the UK, you must comply with General Data Protection Regulations, or GDPR, which came into play in 2018. Sitting alongside GDPR, you have the EU Cookie Directive, or to give its formal name, the e-Privacy Regulation. And these pair of policies are heavyweights. They are considered to provide the strictest privacy regime in the world. So, your privacy policy, let's have a talk about that. As you may or may not know, I work almost exclusively with WordPress websites, and by default, they all come with a very handy template with suggestions of what you could include. Now, this is a great starting point, but it doesn't necessarily provide you with the detail that you need to be fully compliant. Your privacy policy should cover the following: the type of personal information you collect, how you use and share data, the use of third-party services, how users can control their data, and it must inform users of whether and how they are being tracked. That's a lot to digest. Rest assured that a legal professional will explain each point in more detail. I can tell you from my own experience working with a fabulous freelance solicitor that they know their stuff and they are worth every penny of the investment to get legally compliant. Well, that's your privacy policy sorted. Let's talk cookies. So what on earth actually is a cookie? It's a text file with a small piece of data, such as your username and or password, or the items that you've placed in your shopping cart on an e-commerce website. This is used to identify your computer, not you, your computer, for future times that you use that website. And this cookie is stored on your browser, so Chrome or Safari or even Edge or Firefox, for a predetermined period of time. And it's there to personalize your experience of that website, such as when you go back to that website, it logs you in automatically and it already seems to know who you are. Magic. In fact, just like the tasty alternative to a website cookie, I'm talking biscuits. That's right, biscuits. There are different types of cookies. That's right, cookies. Now, I've not got the time to go over each one in great detail, but they are fairly self-explanatory. And the main ones to be aware of are strictly necessary cookies, functional cookies, analytical cookies, and tracking cookies. There are also third-party cookies to think about. So just like the privacy policy, if you're not sure, get a professional to help you. And your cookie policy should include some of the following. The fact that your site collects and stores cookies. An explanation about what cookies are and why your site uses them. The types of cookies that you or third parties use. It should explain how you collect information through contact forms, sign-ups to your newsletter, subscriptions to your service. It should state why you or a third party is collecting the information. So a good example of a third party is Google Analytics. They help you track behavior on your website, but it's not actually you doing the tracking. You've got a third party. You've got Google to do the work for you. And it should also inform users of how they can opt in, opt out, or customize their cookie experience. Now, I mentioned that you need a cookie pop-up banner, and that's where you'll find a lot of this information. So when you have a first-time visitor to your website, under UK laws, you must, in bold, must get their consent to use cookies on your website. Now, it took me ages to get to grips with why websites have cookie banners, and now it's something I include in all my proposals before I've even been selected to go ahead with the website. And I often bring it up in my intro chats with potential clients. I just think it's important to start talking about this before you've even started with the fun stuff. So we've got your privacy and cookie policy sorted, but where on earth do we put them on our websites if they're so important and so necessary for keeping us above board and legal? The good news is that there's no legality about where the policies have to go. They just need to be accessible. So the usual place for this is in the footer. So the footer, the bottom of the page, is visible on every page of your website. The link can be discreet, so it doesn't need to be in your face. It just needs to be there. The final set of legal pages is only needed if you want to build an e-commerce website. When thinking about selling online, it's so easy to get caught up in the nitty-gritty of beautiful product images, categorizing stock and creating descriptions that show off your products. However, you still need to provide a clear process for customers so they understand what they are signing up to when they want to make a purchase. You'll need to have a set of terms of sale in place to outline all rules, restrictions, and disclaimers they must follow when using your service. So for the customer, this will establish trust and transparency as they will know what is going to happen at every stage of the purchase process, such as purchase confirmation emails, information about returns and refunds, delivery times, and so on, etc., etc. For you as the business, it limits what your business can be held liable for, and it helps to minimize any potential disputes. Once again, please do speak to a legal professional to ensure you have checked that your terms of sales meet all legal e-commerce requirements. Building a website is a huge project to undertake, and often the visuals get the most attention, just like that child that always gets the teacher's attention in class, be it for good or bad behaviour. You know the one. However, let's not put our legal pages in the corner and leave them without a voice. Let's give them a chance to shine and make sure that they get an appearance on your website too. Being legally compliant doesn't have to be a chore. So in the repeated words of myself a few minutes ago, over and again, bring in a legal expert and they'll help you and your business become legally compliant. If you're hearing this message, you've reached the end of another Help My Website Sucks podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And if you need help with your website, get in touch at twocowsweb.co.uk. And until next time, bye-bye for now.